fires, fast on a regular basis. The power of fasting. There's a story I love about two men, one young and one older, who work for 8 hours cutting down trees. The young guy chops down tree after tree and never stops for the entire day. The older man takes a break every hour for 15 minutes. The young man is proud and figures he will definitely beat the old man. However, at the end of the day, the young man is surprised to see that the older man has chopped down more trees than he did. He asks the old man how this is possible when he took so many breaks. The old man replies, "I did take breaks, but when I did, I took time to sharpen my axe." I believe fasting is a spiritual discipline that sharpens your axe. You strengthen or sharpen your ability to take control of your body when you fast. The Intermittent Fasting Plan. The Chantal Ray Way is based on the practice of intermittent fasting, IF. It's really based on learning to eat when you are hungry and stop when you're full. But intermittent fasting is the tool that helps assist with teaching you what true hunger is instead of emotional hunger. There are many diets that use IF with varying rules of what you can and can't eat. The Chantal Ray Way is different than others you may have heard about. To understand what intermittent fasting is and how we're going to do it, you should know about all of the different kinds of fasting. The five kinds of fasts. Normal fast. On a normal fast, you are going without food for a defined period of time. You can still have liquids, but with no sugar, water, unsweetened tea, and black coffee. A juice fast. A juice fast is liquids only, without sugar or calorie restrictions. You're drinking mostly green juice, but not having any solid foods whatsoever. Absolute fast. When you're on an absolute fast, you're having no food or water at all. I don't think anyone should do this kind of fast for more than 3 days outside of instruction from God, where He promises to supernaturally sustain you. Partial fast. Partial fasts specifically omit certain foods. A good example of this is a Daniel fast, where you can eat fruits and vegetables, among other things, but meats are prohibited. Rational fast. On a rational fast, you omit certain families of foods of nutrients for designated periods of time. For example, you might only eat protein every fourth day. Theoretically, you could do any one of these fasts intermittently, but the Chantal Ray Way is strictly a normal fast. We'll be alternating between eating windows and fasts. While you're fasting, all food is off limits. That includes drinks with sugar and artificial sweeteners. The best way to put it is to say that while you are fasting, you should not be consuming any calories at all. True fasting. Fasting is the Greek word nystia, meaning not to eat. I take that literally, so I'm not a fan of people abusing partial fasts like the Daniel fast. I see people refraining from meat, but overeating on everything else. If you're still eating burritos with cheese and refried beans and salad with more dressing than salad, I don't call that fasting. If you're scarfing down huge portions of bean burgers and bread, I think you're missing the point. The point of fasting is to not eat. When you fast, you make a sacrifice to God first by giving up food for a period of time. When Daniel chose not to eat meat and wine for 10 days, it was because the food was being offered to idols and eating it would have been a sin. So he ate vegetables and drank water. Why intermittent fasting? Intermittent fasting is exactly what it sounds like. It's alternating between eating and fasting for set periods of time. These periods of time are called eating windows and fasting windows. The secret sauce to the Chantal Ray Way has nothing to do with restricting what foods you can eat. In fact, you can eat what you want. The secret sauce is reducing the number of hours a day you spend eating, what you are craving, and eating less because you are savoring food in the confines of hunger and fullness. You have to understand that the human body wasn't meant to be scarfing down food nonstop throughout the day. In fact, you're going to learn about people who eat just once a day and are perfectly healthy and thin. Our biggest problem is overfeeding ourselves. Intermittent fasting solves that problem. There are new studies every day that continue to prove the benefits of intermittent fasting. However, the main reason it's so effective for losing weight has everything to do with insulin. We're not going to get too scientific here, and I encourage you to do your own research to verify what I'm saying. But I want you to know that if you're someone who deals with diabetic issues, this plan can still be for you. I'm someone who, at my highest weight, was pre-diabetic, and I still have ongoing blood sugar issues. However, intermittent fasting has greatly impacted my blood sugar to the positive. If you have the same health issues I do, then you'll fit right in. Of course, consult your physician before starting a new dietary plan. I check my blood sugar on a regular basis, and I believe that's an important practice to begin. I've learned a lot about insulin and its role in regulating your body's glucose. When you eat, your blood sugar is available to either be burned as energy or stored as fat. In order to lose weight, you have to lower your insulin levels so that your body can access your stored fat effectively. The very act of eating, regardless of what you're eating, causes insulin to be released from your body. Fasting, on the other hand, lowers insulin, which contributes to weight loss. Anytime insulin increases, it can inhibit fat breakdown, which is what you need for fat loss. Like I said before, anytime you eat, your insulin increases. How much it increases depends on several factors, like the food taken in and the individual person eating it. But now you should be able to see how fasting has a positive impact on fat loss. A scientific study actually revealed that the greatest drop in insulin and the greatest increase in fat breakdown take place between 18 and 24 hours of fasting. Dr. Ted Naiman of BurnFatNotSugar.com has a great graph that illustrates this. Everything that we're talking about with intermittent fasting rides on insulin. You need your insulin to be low enough to promote fat breakdown so you can be in a fat-burning mode and not a sugar-burning mode. Helpful fasting tips. Build up to fasting. Intermittent fasting is the only plan that gets easier as you go. So one thing you can do wrong in the beginning is fast for too long and binge afterwards. We know that in order to lose fat, you have to have a caloric deficit. So if you binge, you're going to ruin the whole point of fasting. If you fast too long in the beginning of this journey, it's going to make you very vulnerable to losing control and binge eating. It's better to start out slow. An 8-hour eating window is very, very easy to start with. While you should ultimately want to follow the schedule I laid out for you, it's okay to work your way there. Stay busy. It really doesn't matter if you're playing video games, working, or reading a book. During your fasting time, especially when you start getting really hungry, you want to make sure you stay really, really busy. Sunday is a hard day for me because I'm more relaxed and that gives me more room to eat. What I like to do is go to the mall and window shop or get my hair or nails done to stay busy. Hunger comes in waves. When you're fasting, there's going to be a point when you get ravenously hungry, but after a little while, it passes. You won't stay starving for hours. Hunger comes in waves. If you can keep busy and pass that first couple of waves, you'll have more fat loss. People who are really thin are able to ride that wave. It's just like a wave in the ocean that peaks up and then goes back down. Thin people understand that they can ride that out because they know the hunger will eventually go down. Break your fast with whole, clean foods. When I'm breaking my fast, I try not to break it with anything but really clean and nutrient-dense foods. I definitely don't break my fast with chemicals. You need to listen to what your body is wanting, but with whole foods. You can't feed your body a bunch of processed junk foods and then allow it to tell you what it wants. The chemicals in that food throw your body off, making you want more and more junk food. You also want to make sure that whatever your first meal is, it's not filled with sugar. Otherwise, you'll end up overeating. Use potassium. I feel the best when I have plenty of potassium, and without enough of it, I feel I have no energy. My favorite sources of potassium are avocados, coconut water, bananas, and sweet potatoes. If you like avocados like I do, watch your intake. They're high in calories, and you can consume a whole lot without even realizing it. The same goes for the sugar in coconut water. Walk away. Learn how to walk away from the food when you're done with it. It's okay to put away leftovers. When you know you can only eat once or twice a day, you have a tendency to want to overeat. Make sure that you're eating foods that you actually like so you're not feeling deprived. Get extra sleep. Sleep is very important. Your insulin decreases while you're sleeping and cortisol, which helps with blood sugar regulation, increases. Get active. I've taken to going on nightly walks with a friend. It's helping me lose weight and giving me something to do besides eat. Drink water. I drink a tall glass of water when I get really hungry. If that doesn't work, I'll have coffee with coconut oil or unsweetened tea. Get productive early. I get annoyed if I eat before noon because I know I'm most productive in the morning when I haven't eaten yet. After eating, my productivity drops. Try to prolong your fasting window so that you can be more productive. See if you can push yourself one more hour even when you think you can't. Find a friend. Find a friend you can do intermittent fasting with so you can hold each other accountable. Eat more protein. Getting more protein in your body leads to greater appetite control. Find a way to get it in while still eating what you want. Read the Bible. Draw strength from scriptures. The Bible tells us to fast, so it's something we know we can do. Remember, it doesn't happen overnight. One thing you have to remember when you start this plan is that you may not lose weight as fast as you want to. I personally didn't lose any weight for the first 2 weeks. This plan has to be looked at over the course of a month. On my third week, I lost 6 pounds. My fourth week, 4 pounds. Intermittent fasting is not a get skinny quick scheme. It's not overnight, but that's okay because you want this to be lasting. You didn't gain the weight overnight and you can't lose it overnight. We are making a lifestyle change that's forever. In the book of Exodus, you can read about the Israelites' trials in the desert. There are going to be times when you feel like you're in the desert and aren't losing weight. The thing with this plan is you'll lose fat, but not muscle. So there'll be some weeks when you feel like you aren't losing weight. But instead of feeling miserable like you're in the desert and depriving yourself, take it as an opportunity to ask God, what are you going to show me today? What are you going to teach me? Another tip is to save your coffee for later in your fast, not first thing in the morning. If you choose to set your fast for the morning hours, you'll notice that you're usually not hungry when you first wake up. That's one of the reasons I prefer morning fasts. There's a myth out there that breakfast is the most important meal of the day, but it's simply not true. You can choose to fast whenever you like and get results. You're already in a fasted state when you first wake up in the morning, so save your coffee for when your hunger starts to creep up so the caffeine can suppress your appetite. Fasting, it works. There are benefits to intermittent fasting that I haven't found with any diet I've tried. First, I believe intermittent fasting is a solution for the willpower factor. I think we all have a limit to our willpower. We can get excited about a diet for a little while, but when we want a brownie and the diet says we can't, most times we end up failing. We move on to the next diet since the last one was too hard, and when that one fails, we move on to another one. We blame the diets, but it's really our inability to stick with them that's the problem. But that's okay. Trying to live by a diet is unrealistic and unsustainable. Diets that restrict foods get harder the longer you do them, while intermittent fasting is the only plan that I believe gets easier with time. It doesn't put pressure on your willpower because you're still allowed to eat what you want. You're simply changing the time frame when you eat. The second major benefit is that I'm finally eating less. I'm at the point where I'm eating only 2 meals just about every day, and they're small meals at that. See, my struggles with eating are just like my troubles with skiing. I do great while I'm in motion, but I'm atrocious at stopping. They had to stamp a big red X on my ticket and threaten to kick me off the slope if I didn't stop running into people. Well, stopping once I start eating is just as real a challenge for me. Intermittent fasting has helped me control and stop eating when I need to. Now I'm even snacking less. I literally had a snacking addiction to the point where my family made up a song to tease me. It's called All I Do Is Snack, to the tune of All I Do Is Win by DJ Khaled. Yes, it was that bad. Thankfully, my snacking addiction is broken now, and you won't find me snacking all day anymore. Finally, when it comes to my health, my hormones feel regulated, my immune system is stronger, and I have more mental clarity. There are so many different cleanses out there, but I believe fasting is God's way of doing it. It's like a self-cleansing process. Don't waste your money on cleanses when you can just fast. Your body gets a chance to repair itself while you fast. Fasting works. Alternative intermittent fasting methods. If you've never heard of intermittent fasting before now, you're probably going to Google it to learn more. When you do, you'll find out there are a lot of different versions and suggestions about how to do it. Here are a few that I've seen but don't recommend that you follow. 5-2 diet. This diet involves eating a normal, healthy diet 5 days of the week and then eating only 500 calories for 2 days of the week. Those days would be your fast days. My problem with this diet is that I believe it requires too much calorie counting and could ultimately leave room for you to be tempted to binge. Heavy eating. There's a myth that you should eat a ton of food at your meals in your eating window to avoid snacking in between. I disagree because that would cause you to overeat. Early dinners. There's a commonly held belief, whether you're doing intermittent fasting or not, that you should never eat dinner late at night. I have a ton of friends who have late eating windows and even eat carbs right before bed, and they're still very thin. Most of the girls I interviewed who are thin ate a small lunch or a small snack for lunch and then a medium-sized dinner of whatever they wanted, and that's it. The eating window. Pick an eating window and stay in it. An eating window is a specific period of time in which all your caloric food and beverages must be consumed. Your eating window opens as soon as you take your first bite or sip of food of the day. The eating window closes after you've taken your last bite or sip of food for the day. If that's 6 hours after your first meal, then that was a 6-hour eating window. Let's say it's Monday and you have a 6-hour eating window scheduled. You decide to eat your first meal at 1 p.m. The clock starts after you take your first bite of food at 1 o'clock. Everything you eat after that has to happen before 7 p.m. After that, you are finished eating until tomorrow when you start your next window. Now, suppose you finished eating dinner by 7 p.m., but you decide to have a glass of wine or a bowl of ice cream at 9 p.m. Well, you just extended your window into an 8-hour window. You can't mark that day as a successful 6-hour eating window. No calories can be consumed outside of your eating window. Everything counts. I first heard about intermittent fasting from my trainer, Chris Sykes. He lost 20 pounds in 2 weeks, and we had a mutual friend who lost 30 pounds in 60 days. Chris explained to me that I could eat whatever I wanted. All I had to do was confine myself to an 8-hour eating window. I thought that didn't sound too hard at all. That was because I was already used to eating 9 hours a day, even though I didn't know it at the time. After 2 weeks of trying the 8-hour window, I didn't lose any weight. I realized that cutting my eating down by 1 hour wasn't having an effect on me, so I decided to reduce my eating window to 6 hours. By the third week, I lost 6 pounds total. Pay attention to how you respond to the eating window and how you can transition over time. Some people are going to start with the 8-hour window, realize that it's too easy for them, and jump to 6 hours. Others will start with 8, move to 7, and then down to 6. I moved from 8 to 6 quickly when I realized 8 hours wouldn't cut the mustard for me to lose weight like I needed to. Now, my normal eating window is from noon to 6 p.m. I listen to my body and learn the days that I'm hungry and the days that I'm not. It'll vary from day to day. For instance, the week before my period, I'm a lot hungrier. What you want to avoid is eating more than your body needs. No matter how long your eating window is, you can't overeat. If you eat from 12 to 6, a 6-hour window, but you consume a huge lunch, a snack in the middle, and a huge dinner, then you're still eating too much. I learned quickly that if you overeat, you still won't lose weight no matter how short your window is. All of these FIRES components must work together for you to see success. You'll find out what works for you, and that will change over time. I think the window that works best for most people is a 5 to 6 hour window with one medium-sized meal and one small meal. The wonderful thing about fasting is that your body learns to expect food at a certain time of day. Around 11 or 12 o'clock, my stomach growls because it's used to eating around that time. Because of this, I'm not constantly thinking about food, and that's one of the major goals of the Chantel Ray way. Once my eating window is closed, it's closed. At that point, I have mentally shut myself down from thinking about food, and it's so peaceful. If you've never experienced this before, it may sound unbelievable, but trust me when I say it's a much better way to live. I feel much more productive now that I'm not constantly thinking about food. I get so much more done and I don't even want to start eating because once I do, I know I'm going to slow down. There's a myth that you get tired if you don't eat, but the opposite happens. I'm not at all tired when I fast. I have more energy when I don't eat than when I have frequent meals all day. I think it's because the body takes so much energy to digest food. When I fast, it's not digesting food all day long. Believe me, there are going to be days when you get tired of this plan and think this is too much. The first couple of months on this plan have a lot of moments like that. Find the eating window that works for you and remember that you don't have to restrict anything in your diet. This isn't a plan that deprives you. Get rid of the concept of the cheat day. Remember that you aren't depriving yourself. Once in a blue moon, usually when I have a special event like a wedding to attend, I'll have an 8-hour eating window and eat less throughout the day. You may have days like that too, but you're not going to need cheat days. There's definitely an adjustment period, but it's something you can do. I had a lot of friends who thought they could never do this, but once they saw me lose weight, they changed their tune. The flexibility of the eating window. Different people like to do different things when it comes to the time frame of the eating window. Some prefer to start eating in the morning and others in the afternoon. I prefer to fast in the mornings, and so I get pushback from people who insist on telling me that skipping breakfast is so bad for me. I haven't seen any negative consequences yet. When you do find the time frame for your eating window, stick with it. The people I know who are the most successful with this plan pick a designated time of day for their eating window that they keep consistent. If you do it the same time every day, your body gets used to it and makes it easier. If you ever get off track, you may need to make adjustments. One day I had an early lunch at 11:30. Since I chose to eat, I ended up eating in a 7-hour window instead of the 6-hour window I was scheduled to have. I balanced myself back out by swapping in an additional 4-hour eating window day in place of one of my 6-hour windows. This also helps me on days when I overeat. My body benefits from the cleanse of a shorter window. As an additional note, I do a lot of 4-hour windows when I really want to jumpstart my weight loss after I've hit a plateau. If you do this, don't overdo it or you'll struggle to keep it up and be tempted to binge. Eating window alternatives. An eating window isn't the only way to employ the principles we discuss in this book and get results. You can simply wait until every stomach growl to eat, but I think it becomes difficult to plan your life around the growls when unexpected events and outings with friends come up. However, that method will most certainly result in weight loss just like eating windows will. I interviewed over 1,000 thin people for this book, and I learned that while not all of them participated in intermittent fasting, their eating behavior contained one or more of the following attributes: eating one meal a day, sometimes two, eating in a 6-hour window, eating in an 8-hour window, very clean, eating only when the stomach growls or is empty, eating 100 calories or fewer in the morning, most ate nothing for breakfast, only coffee, eating what they truly wanted. Every single person I interviewed did at least one of these things. They all got themselves to a fasted state at some point in the day. Whether they know it or not, there's an element of intermittent fasting in the way they eat. How many times a day do you eat? I would say 70% of the people I interviewed said they ate only 2 meals a day, and most of those people skipped breakfast and ate lunch and dinner. 10% of those women ate 3 times a day, but whatever they ate in the morning was very, very small, such as a piece of fruit, a small 80-calorie yogurt, or 1 or 2 boiled eggs, something that was almost always 150 calories or fewer. Another 10% sometimes ate 1 time a day, sometimes 2 times a day, and sometimes 3 times a day. They were really all over the map. It all depended on when they were hungry. The whoosh effect. You should Google the whoosh effect. I was doing intermittent fasting for 3 straight weeks and I didn't lose any weight. After those 3 weeks, I lost 6 pounds. Then it just started really coming off. But for those first 3 weeks, I thought, this is ridiculous. I'm not losing any weight. I want to explain to you what is happening, even though it isn't registering as a loss on the scale. When you're losing weight, your fat cells hold on to water, and your body fills those different cells with water. In the beginning, if you get on the scales and you aren't seeing the results you are looking for, it could take another week or 2 weeks. In my case, it was 3 weeks. And it's really bizarre because all of a sudden you can just lose 6 pounds. I don't know why it was so sudden for me, but all of a sudden, whoosh, your body just releases some of the water weight that it has been storing, and then boom, you've lost a lot of weight. My weight loss pattern with intermittent fasting is usually in the beginning it seems like I stay the same. Then 3 weeks later, I lose 6 pounds. And then I may lose a little more. From there, I may go up a little or down a little. If you look at my weekly average, I generally lose between 1 to 2 pounds per week. But there may be a week I don't lose any, and then the following week I might lose 2 pounds. A lot of what I'm saying will come to life if you go to chantelrayway.com/video course and watch what I'm teaching instead of reading it. Scales. 2 days ago, I got on the scale and I had gained 2 pounds. Today, I got on the scale and I had lost 3 pounds. Did I really lose 3 pounds? No. That's why the scale isn't a good indicator. Don't freak out over the scale. It will drive you up the wall mentally. It could be something as simple as water that makes your scale weight fluctuate. I recommend weighing once a week, and only when you're feeling thin. If you're feeling bloated, then don't get on the scale. I only get on the scale if I think I've lost weight. Otherwise, why am I going to get on the scale just to feel bad about myself? No way. Most of the girls I interviewed either weigh themselves once a week, weigh themselves 3 times a week, or never got on the scale. 1 meal a day. OMAD. Of the women I interviewed, 10% of them ate 1 meal a day. I'm going to be calling 1 meal a day OMAD from here on. Even though 70% of the girls I interviewed ate 2 meals a day, for a lot of them it was more like 1 meal and a snack. You may think eating OMAD sounds absolutely ridiculous, but it actually can save you a ton of time, a ton of money, and once your body gets used to it, it's not nearly as hard as it sounds. When I am in maintenance mode, I like to eat in a 6-hour window. But when I've gained a few pounds and really want to lose weight, eating in a 1-hour window and eating OMAD is what really works for losing weight. Now, let me explain what happens in that 1 hour for me. That meal is almost always at night around 6 p.m. For a while, I started eating my OMAD at lunch, which I like doing, but I have so much more energy and I am so much more productive during the day when I don't eat. So I really enjoy that OMAD at dinner, and I like eating dinner with my family. When I was doing the OMAD at lunch, I sat down at the dinner table one night to actually eat, and my son, who always sets the table, put just a glass of water in front of me. I said, "Hun, I'm eating dinner tonight." And he was so shocked because it had been so long since I had actually eaten dinner with them. So I switched my OMAD to dinner. In my opinion, the reason intermittent fasting is so effective is because you're always in a fed state or a fasted state. The only way you could eat something while your body would still think you're in a fasted state is if you just ate straight fat. So if you ate just a tablespoon of ghee, your body would still think you're in a fasted state. As soon as your body starts digesting all the nutrients from whatever you eat, and for several hours after, depending on the food you eat, your body is basically creating insulin. When it creates insulin, the insulin signals your body to store the food it has taken in. Your body has a choice. It can take the food in as body fat or as glycogen. If your glycogen stores are totally full already because you are not hungry and have enough already stored up, then your body is not ever burning fat because it is in complete storage mode. Let me go back and explain why OMAD is so effective by telling you what my meal looks like in that hour. The very first thing I do in that hour is usually eat some sort of high-fat something. I'm usually very hungry after 23 hours, and this helps calm my body down. I maybe have a quarter piece of avocado or some almonds, just some sort of fat because it helps fill me up. It is almost like an appetizer. If I'm out to dinner, I will order chicken lettuce wraps or something like that so that I can be a little bit fuller. Then I eat my meal, and if I'm going to have dessert, I will wait a little bit and have a little dessert. This is all happening in a 1 hour period. I don't suggest that you go from eating 3 or 4 meals a day to going into just straight OMAD. It's great if you decide you're going to start intermittent fasting beginning with an 8 hour window, then 6 hour window, then 4 hour window, and work your way down. You must decide when you do best with your OMAD. Some people who I have talked to like to do lunch, but the majority like to do dinner. I just feel like I'm so much more productive during the day with the number of things that I can get done when I don't eat. I'm very, very busy and have so much on my plate, and I love feeling like I'm accomplishing as much as possible. We eat a very early dinner in my family. I had a girl call me at 4:45 p.m. one time, and she asked, "What are you doing?" I said, "Oh, I'm finishing dinner." She was surprised and was like, "At 4:45? You can eat an earlier dinner. You don't have to wait until 7 p.m. I feel like the nice thing also is that at the end of the day, I'm more relaxed and my digestion in the later part of the day is better. I can take my time. I'm not worried about work or other things, and I can kind of slow down a little bit. Just remember that even if you decide to eat a big meal at lunchtime, there's no reason why you can't participate in family dinner or go to a dinner party because you don't have to eat to enjoy the experience. That is the biggest thing. People who are thin feel no pressure to eat just because they are at a dinner or function. A lot of times, I'll go to different lunch meetings or parties, and people will say, "Oh, eat something small," but I'll sit there and not eat. You must get out of your mind that you have to eat just because you've been invited to. Eating has nothing to do with enjoying someone's company. Nothing. In fact, not eating actually makes the time more meaningful because you aren't shoving food in your face and you're able to talk more.